We are more than overcomers through him who loved us. The word is so power-packed that you could interpret it as an extraordinary, humongous, conquering force. You gain a defeating victory. Not just a slight victory, but an overwhelming one. If you like football and you like a tense, competitive game, you're in it right to the finish line, and the final score is 37-36 for your team. Yay! But it was a nail-biter right to the end. A good game to watch, but that's not this one. In this one, the score is 37-6. And your team was 37, and it showed all along who was the stronger one. It was hardly a fight. It was hardly a game. It was hardly a battle. More than conquerors. It's victory. And it's in the context of love in this end of the chapter. So instead of these things having the potential of overtaking us, you overtake them and they become your helpers and friends. Instead of tribulation and distress and persecution and famine and nakedness and peril or sword taking you down, taking you out, no, you overtake them and you take the bounty that is in it. You use the tribulation for your victory. You use the distress to become your helper. Now let's go back to your testimony of yesterday's. Many of you have older kids. Let's just say 15 and up. When some of them start to show their real colors, and they're not all pretty. I was thinking about this just this morning, kind of mentally going through the families of Free Grace Fellowship and how many families have had or still have a child or more than one who aren't walking with the Lord or not doing all that great. How did you do? In your tribulation, in the trials, in the distress, did you walk in comfort? Did you walk as one who was more than a conqueror? What I have seen, what I have heard, is as I walk with these people, as I walk with these kind of parents, some rough edges come off. They're no longer so sure how to tell other people how to parent. Some of the pride gets kind of knocked out from under them because now they have a wayward one. And as far as they know, they did everything they could. They have prayed, they have pleaded, they have asked, and they're still praying. But the pain is there and the pain is real. And you can ask the question, God, why? This much, this far, this long, this painful, this difficult, and still no reprieve. The Holy Spirit says to us this morning, you're to be more than a conqueror. You are to use that situation is to be there to become your friend, your helper. Where it's not just, wow, my son, my daughter, what got this close to death and they just made it through and boy, we barely made it. No, more than a conqueror. 37-6. No competition. So you take where you are to where Paul says, where the Holy Spirit says we're to be. Do we have a ways to go? How did the Old Testament saints do what they did with a whole lot less Bible and not the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? How did they do it? What I'm not saying is that it's not painful, that it's not hard, that the tribulation is like just, poof. No, it's real. But when the tears are there, when your heart is crying or your eyes are crying or both, you're still rejoicing in the Lord. You are still able to praise him. though you don't see the other shore, though you don't know the outcome. You know God is for you. He hasn't left you. His love is there, and he wants to use it somehow to shape you and to touch this world in a way that he couldn't or he won't without that trial in your life. More than conquerors. All afflictions and trials, rightly carried and therefore overcome, make you stronger and bring you closer to Jesus Christ. Wrongly carried, they separate you from your Jesus. You see, we are more than conquerors through him, not separate from him. And that's our hard part. To continue to trust God in the trial, in the affliction, in the pain, and believe for a godly outcome, whether or not we'll see it in our lifetime. But those who do and those who did, we'll come to that in the end, there must be a godly outcome, or God is not God. When you stand on the Word of God, there must be life that comes out of it, or God is not true to his word. So question, which of the things that you have faced helped you to lay hold of Christ? Whether you're 30, 20, 50, or older, which of those things in your past have driven you to Christ where you couldn't do it alone anymore? There is no way I can walk this one out alone. Then in that one, you're more than a conqueror. And where you still had control, where you still had the answers, or where you turned your back to God for a while, no, you are not a conqueror. And so I appreciate the fact that it says we are more, not we should be, we might be, we have the potential to be. To God, there is only one way to live. To embrace we are. So from this day forward, by the grace of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, we will live like those who are more than conquerors. And then, those last two verses in a way bothered me as to how they were connected. I'm like, I can see how they're connected. But then he goes on to speak about, again, about nothing can separate us from the love of God. For I'm persuaded. And he says nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing can separate us from the love of God. He says, I am persuaded, I am absolutely convinced. For one, by his own experience, I am absolutely convinced nothing, 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 nothing can separate us from the love of God. And then he gives these examples, and I believe he gives these as extremes. You see, when it's kind of middle of the road, we can kind of understand. He says, life or death. Now, he's writing as one who isn't dead yet, but in other places he writes, he was despairing of life. And so he was staring death in the face. And then he writes here, that didn't separate me from God's love. Life. Nothing in my life. He talks about no height, no depth. Did you ever encounter an evil force? Really? Did you ever encounter something ugly and nasty with a hoarse voice or that looked like it coming at you through another human being that was seemed to be bigger and more powerful than you? It's like it immobilized you. That and so much more, because he talks about principalities and powers. And the other extreme is an angel. So he's talking about extremes here. Those impossibilities in life, that can't separate us from the love of God. He talks about present, when in the moment, I don't know what the next moment will bring, and the fears of tomorrows. During the days of Caesars or Nero, when a lot of Christians were persecuted, there was a young lady, I can't remember her name right now, She was asked, "Do you fear death?" She said, "No. But what I fear is the time before my death. Being torn apart by lions." We at times we fear the unknowns. You know, maybe you don't fear death, but what about the cancer that takes some down? We Christians will do anything to stay alive. We're safe, we're secure in Christ, we're redeemed, we're bought by the blood of Jesus, and yet we'll do anything to stay alive. No height nor depth. No present or no, yeah, no height nor depth. Nothing in the heavenly realm, nothing in the realm of space, nothing in the existence here on earth. And he says, in case I missed anything, if there's anything else, the last part, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so in these extremes and these impossibilities and the things, you allow your imagination to go, anything, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Not we should be. We can be, but we are more than conquerors. So whether or not you're there, we got to stand on the Word. So resolve right now to see yourself in the way the Word of God does. Okay, it's safe here this morning, okay? At least this morning, move from where you are. Move from where you've been, move from where you've lived, move from how you think, move from how you feel, and put yourself as a resolve right now to see yourself the way the Word of God states it. We are more than conquerors. Not only we may be conquerors, but we as Christians, we must be conquerors. Therefore, we resolve to stand here on the Word of God. We live in a continent that is no longer a Judeo-Christian nation. We are a minority. If we didn't believe in God, Jesus being on the throne, it doesn't look good for us. I believe the next series I'm to go through, maybe the book of Daniel, the book of Nehemiah, of what it means to live in a minority. But we can't even get the best of our own temptations. So let's take it a little closer to home. How do you overcome principalities and powers, heights and depths, life and death out there when we're not even more than conquerors in our own life? What temptation is there in your life that you don't have victory over? You all have them. We have this. I made it. I have had a good week. I didn't shoot my mouth off. I didn't have any bad thoughts in the last 2 minutes. I haven't lusted. I haven't broken out in pride. You name it. The text, I know it's not per se the context, but the text says we are more than conquerors. Not 37 to 36. 37, nothing. I know, I'm one of yours. I'm like you, skin, flesh. I haven't conquered it. But resolve, at least here, to stand on what it says here. We are more than conquerors. We haven't just had won by a slight edge. We haven't just overcome, although Revelation says he who overcomes. This one goes further. This is one of those, God, how shall we do this? We are more than conquerors. An overwhelming majority, no competition, slam dunk. And it says we are. That means I have no excuse. It's not about beating ourselves up. It's not about being condemned, because that's in the chapter, no condemnation. But we can, through Christ in us, be not just overcomers, but be more than conquerors. So what's the current thing you can't seem to overcome? Don't tell me. Don't tell your neighbor. Just bring it to mind. What's a current thing you can't overcome? So take this verse as an encouragement. If you haven't had the victory, if you haven't beat smoking, if you haven't beat pornography, if you haven't beat pride, if you haven't beat gossip, if you haven't beat being slothful, if you haven't beat being careless, if you haven't beat being a workaholic, there is hope, because we're more than conquerors. How? What's our part? Now, the answer is simple, but not easy. It's not legalism. I'll first spell it out this way. It's unquestioned obedience. Jesus says to the man with the withered arm, stretch out your arm. Right? It's shriveled up. It's withered. He told him to do what he couldn't do, but he stretched it out. He says to the lepers, go, show yourself to the high priest. They were lepers. They weren't allowed in the temple. But as they went, they were cleansed. They obeyed. Now, your private life may actually be pathetic in your own estimation. You're born again, but you're not experiencing victory over the problem in your life. Let me remind us where the victory comes. If this verse is true, if this verse is for us this morning, and you don't have victory, what are you to do? Can you find a scripture that goes directly against where you find yourself? Let's take the one of non-life-giving words coming out of your mouth. Okay? With the tongue is either blessing or cursing. And let's say too many times you're doom and gloom, you're expressing fear, you're speaking curses over yourself. Can you find a scripture that tells the opposite? Can you think of one? Think you could find one. And then it says, okay, obey that. You say, well, I got no victory. Well, here's where it's so simple, it's silly. Okay, Jesus in the parable of the sower, he talks about sowing the seed, right? Some fell by the wayside, some fell on the stony ground, some fell amongst the thorns, and some on good ground. Do you know what the Greek words for seed is? Like a transliteration? Sperma. Right? Some of you kids may not get this. Ask your mom and dad. Sperma. That means there's life in it. So you find the verse. There is life in that verse. Meditate on that verse. Pray that verse. Stand on that verse. As we're doing this morning in Romans 8, verse 37. If we are more than conquerors, we can stand on that verse and say, Lord, you tell me I am more than a conqueror. There is sperma in that verse. And so with the command comes the life. And God's word can never return void. It is impossible. If there's life in the seed, it has to bring forth life. It is impossible to take position on the scriptures that are opposite of where your struggle is, and to stand in that verse and begin to declare it and say, I'm going to obey it. And God has to be true to his word. Has to. It is impossible for God's word to fail. It's not a dead seed, it's a living seed, and it always works. What we don't know is when it'll germinate, but it has to germinate. But there's one more ingredient, and that's you, with faith. When you stand on the word of God in faith, if we stand on Romans 8:37 this morning, we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. Then we stand on that word by faith, then our lives have to begin to show we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. And the things where you currently don't have victory, they have to change. Now, in one sense, we can't wait till we're totally have conquered every issue in our life before we go and do what the rest of Romans 8 tells us, that the heaven or the earth is waiting for the sons of God to be revealed, waiting for its redemption. But if we, as people of God, stand on the word of God regarding any issue, it has to produce life. That's why the well-prepared soil produced 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Because the seed is alive. The only time it doesn't, if it falls amongst thorns or on the rocks or by the wayside. But the sperma is there. And when the sperma and the well-prepared soil, which is faith, meet together, boom. What do we have? Conception. And what happens when we have conception? We have life. Simple, right? Easy? We'll see. Stand on the word of God. Increase your faith by continuously confessing the scriptures to yourself and activate through continuous trust in God. The simple answer, but a lifetime to live out. We are more than conquerors, so that whether it is the height or the depth, whether it is angels or principalities or powers, no matter what extreme, no matter what the impossibility, that too has to move. Faith does move mountains. Faith does overcome cancer. Faith does overcome mental instability. Faith does overcome broken relationships. As long as you can find it in the Word and you stand on that, no, that's not name it and claim it. Far beyond that. Trembling at the word of God, believing what God says, standing on it, and not giving up. Why could David take down Goliath? Why could Gideon slay thousands of Midianites? Why could Hezekiah get victory over seemingly impossible situations surrounded by the armies? Why could Joshua take the land of Canaan? Why could Jesus take on the world? Why could John overcome? I know it's extra biblical. A boiling tub of tar. He trusted God. He had no guarantee he'd make it out alive. But he stood on the word of God. He understood the love of God. And he walked by faith. And he was more than an overcomer. He was more than a conqueror. So wherever you are, maybe you're there. Hopefully sometimes you're there. How about more consistently? A high call? Yes. Hopeful? Encouraging? Hope so. High cost? Absolutely. Costs you everything. But God's word will never return void. And so as long as your children cause you to lament and cry out and complain, you're not yet a conqueror. But when you stand on the word of God, that children are a heritage from the Lord, and say they will return because the word of God says so. Tribulation and distress, yes. But we are more than overcomers. We are more than conquerors through Christ. Not alone, not apart from what he says, through Christ who is in you. Why? That's God's heart for the world. It doesn't state it exactly in the text, but here's another thought I have in this. I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, etc. Does that pertain particularly to your life? Or would it also be your life and the impossibilities out there? You understand what I'm saying? Is verse 38 and 39 just pertain to you as the individual? Or does this pertain to the love of God for a lost world? Those impossibilities, those cultural shifts that are required, the ungodly governments and laws they are making. Can we become more than conquerors and to see God work on our behalf? I know, I'm challenging some of you because you may not believe that is God's design for this world before Jesus comes back. But let's just leave that alone. Let's just take the mandate to go therefore and make disciples of all nations. And leave the outcome up to him. Can we believe, I just heard this from my son yesterday, that Lethbridge is on the map as being the worst supervised consumption site in the world? So we can live defeated, hopeless, man, this is getting out of hand real bad. What if those depths are waiting for sons and daughters to live more than conquerors and see something redemptive come out of that? You have faith for that? What do you have faith for? Where do you currently not have victory? Let's start there. And continue the process of sanctification. We know, right? God doesn't limit us, we limit God, right? All things are possible to him who believes. It's a high call. It's a good call. Something to aim for in humility, in submission, allowing him to live through us, to see light come to an ever-darkening world. And in one sense, we will shine brighter just by being us, or maybe our brightness needs to increase. Maybe some of both. In Jesus' name, amen. Bert, do you want to close? You want me to close? You want me to close? I'd like to pray over us this morning, this verse. Because this verse is alive. Romans 8:37 is alive. So, Father,